The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
Hello, America. Welcome to the Glenn Beck Program. Well, it didn't take long, they're now calling for the removal of George Washington's name on all parks in Chicago, and to remove the George Washington statue. This is Chicago, so what a surprise that a pastor in the town that gave birth to Jeremiah Wright might feel this way. We are at a crossroads in America, and we have to decide who we are, what we believe, and what the course of action that we need to take. We're going to begin there right now.
Of entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Yesterday, I started this program with many of the same words that I'm going to start this one with. This is not a program for babies. This is not a program for snowflakes, and it is not a program today for people who are just playing team sports. I am an American because I believe in the Constitution of the United States of America. I believe in the Bill of Rights. And I believe that there are millions of Americans who are afraid of their own side right now. They are afraid of the people who are in Berkeley, California, who are trying to silence free speech all across the universities. And I know this because I have many liberal friends who will tell me silently, and those days really have to come to an end soon, guys, who will tell me silently they are, and this is a quote from one of them, more afraid of my side than I am yours. They know they've unleashed a monster. And right now, the left might be celebrating the taking down of Confederate statues. Now, me personally, and I grew up in Seattle, Washington, so I have no heritage from the South. In fact, my heritage is from two forefathers that were killed by the South. One of them died in a really notorious concentration camp where pretty much they all starved to death, died of disease in the South. So any heritage that I do have is on the North. So I approach this with that. But I also believe that I'm a pretty fair person. I look into history and I don't want to whitewash our history. I want to recognize the past, and I want to recognize both the good and the bad. You cannot raise your children to believe that America is just this sunshine and lollipops country, because it's not. We have some really bad things. With that being said, we also have some really glorious things about this nation. But if you don't teach your children the bad things, if they don't hear it from you, and then hear, but this is why America is so great anyway. Name the countries that haven't done this kind of stuff. We have to teach history and keep it in context and look for the advancement of man. Are there racists? Yeah, boy. Are there Nazis? Yeah, in growing numbers. These have been seen, exactly what's going on in the world has been seen before. And what's happening right now was played out in the late 19s and the early 1920s. This progressive movement that glorified racism, from Woodrow Wilson to Margaret Sanger, they glorified racism. They beefed up the Klan. The Klan was almost dead, and they brought it back to life because they had a deep hatred for black people. And that is the truth. Look it up. If you want to tear down a memorial because people had a real, true hatred for people of color, then you need to take the one living memorial and discard it. And that's Planned Parenthood. If you want to have a real discussion, I will stand with you. Bedford Forrest, horrible human being. Horrible human being. A general in the South, founder of the Klan. He skinned people alive if you stood up for the slaves and you were white. And then he would hang your skin on the sides of barns along with black skins to let everybody know, you come into this area and you stand for the North, this is what's going to happen to you. There's no way you can stand with those from the early 20th century progressive movement, and there's no way you can stand with the Klan, the Nazis, or Antifa. Can't. And I want to warn you that right now, the left might be feeling pretty good because we're getting rid of the Confederate symbols. I've always wondered why we have these people in our cities. Well, because of heritage. Yeah, but the heritage is a lie. The one that you have been taught and held on to is a lie. I'm sorry, it is. If you read the Confederate Constitution, it was not for states' rights. If you wanted to break away from the United States, then you take the Constitution of the United States and you say, this Constitution is right. The Bill of Rights is right. We just don't interpret it for black people because we don't think black people are people. You have a hard time defending that. But at least you can say, no, it was for states' rights and it was for the Constitution in my perverted sort of way. Okay, that's not what they did. They betrayed the country. They claimed that it was about states' rights. But then when they wrote their new Constitution, they made it impossible for you to join the Confederate States if you didn't also support slavery in your state and believe that slavery should be furthered in every state. That's not states' rights. That's a cram down. That's really, really early progressivism. I want to lay something out for you today. And yesterday on the program, I said, I want you to write a few things down. But honestly, I didn't leave here last night until 9:30. And I was so busy last night that I didn't have time to do anything other than notes. And this warning is too important. And I am not going on the air until this is exactly right. Because what I feel in my gut is what I told you a few years ago. And that is, there's going to come a time when you're not going to recognize your country. There's going to come a time when everything that you thought was solid is liquid. And everything that was liquid is solid. There's going to come a time where everything is turned inside out and upside down. And you're just not going to know which direction to go in. And you won't believe in anything. But you're going to get up and you're going to wake up and you won't recognize your country. Well, guys, if this isn't the final nail in that coffin, I don't know what is. When we are actually having a conversation and an argument over, are you going to stand with the communists or the Nazis? The country has gone insane. It is over the cliff. And I draw a line in the sand for me and my family. I'm not telling you what to do. But for me and my family, we go no further. I am not going to play that game because those are false options. That is not true. And I will not join a mob on either side. When you're pulling down statues and you're doing it with mob justice, you're no better than the Wild West. You're no better than the savages that we crawled and fought so many thousands of years to get away from. Man has a savage nature to him. We are animals. And it takes hard work to stop acting like an animal. Great, profound sacrifices have been made to be able to quiet the savage beast that is in all of us, no matter what color you are. And this was a grand experiment. And you know what? The world has never been like this, ever, ever, not even close to this. And everybody thinks it's just going to go on forever. And well, it's not going to get really bad. If I would have told you that the world would be at this point 10 years ago and said within 10 years, you would have said, even if you followed me and believed me, you would have said, "Now, Glenn, he's going too far." And here's what I want you to hear. Saturday started not a new chapter, perhaps a new section, but I feel like it's a new book, or it's about to be. We've started to write, as of Saturday, a new section of the story of America. We ended the beginning. The beginning has been going on for a while. The beginning of whatever is going to happen to America, that has ended. And we are now beginning the middle. Does that make sense? The middle is not going to be a long section. But the middle will chart the ending. And so it's choose your own story. But every choice we make today, every choice we make is going to flip to page 96 or flip to page 71. Every choice is going to take us on a different adventure. And this isn't a storybook. We are either going to pull ourselves out of the tar pit that we're in right now, or we're going under. And when we go under, it's Game of Thrones. For a while, the world will go into Game of Thrones. Do we pull ourselves out? How do you silence half a population? I want to show you why I believe the last 4 days have forever changed the country. The last 4 days is either the beginning of a new party or the absolute end of any conservative party. Conservatives, and really, truly, I believe the Constitution, are on the ropes, and the next few months are going to decide our fate. And when I say the next few months are going to decide our fate, it's not time. It's what we do with that time that will decide our fate. And I want to show you in a real quick recap why I believe everything has changed on Saturday. When we come back, also next hour, Bill O'Reilly is going to be joining. Right now, let me tell you about our sponsor this half hour. It was in Cincinnati that a man's wife and infant son, they were sleeping in the back room of their house when two intruders break into the house. Outnumbered 2-1, the man is able to get to his safe and retrieve his gun. Struggle ensues. The homeowner shoots the men. For the history of mankind, a free people who defended their family and shot people who were trying to disrupt the home and possibly do something with the children when they were afraid of their life, they were able to defend themselves, and it was right and just. I hope we are never faced with that. But here's what happened. If you do that, the bad guys that have broken into your house are replaced by new bad guys. And these guys are paid an awful lot of money because they want to destroy the Second Amendment to put you in jail. They're attorneys. So now you've just made a horrible decision, something that you would never, ever do unless you had to. And now the next 3 years of your life, you're probably going to be bankrupt because of it, which is much better than my wife being raped. Who's protecting you now? The USCCA. I want you to go to protectanddefend.com. See their world-class training and resources, as well as their invaluable self-defense coverage. You must have insurance and people who know how to fight these battles that you can call the minute something happens. Otherwise, your life is going to be hell. I want you to go to protectanddefend.com right now. Be prepared to protect and defend yourself and your family at protectanddefend.com.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Mercury.
If you owe back taxes to the IRS, you're not going to like hearing about their 92% conviction rate. That means the IRS wins 92% of tax avoider cases they prosecute. Maybe you skated by this long, but they are coming. You have to get out in front of your IRS problems before they show up at your home and your work, before they take your paycheck and bank accounts, and before they add you to their 92% conviction rate. Call Optima Tax Relief. They're the experts. They step between you and the IRS and start resolving the problems that keep you up at night. Just call Ask how they've resolved over $500 million of tax debt for their clients. Ask about their A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. And ask about the Fresh Start program with a chance to settle your back taxes for pennies on the dollar. These guys know what they're doing. You've seen the success stories. Give them a call. 800-706-3011. 800-706-3011. 800-706-3011. Optima Tax Relief.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Of course it is. Okay. I want to show you, I want to lay out a couple of things, and I want to talk to you about heritage, because heritage is really important, and that is going to be a key word. Heritage and tradition. Those two things are going to be a call to arms, and you need to understand who's calling you to arms. And is this designed? Just like the left has used keywords and has keywords that mean something to them. For instance, oppression. Who's for? Who's for oppression? Nobody's for oppression. Well, it means something different to those who originated the oppression movement. Same with tradition and heritage. It will play a role. We'll get to that, Bill O'Reilly, and what I believe happened on Saturday and why it matters to you. Next.
The Glenn Beck Program.
Mercury.
The Glenn Beck Program.
I'm going to say something perhaps unpleasant, but it is, I believe in it is part of my job to warn you of the future and show you what I believe could be happening and is coming. And I am very concerned about Alexander Dugin and Russia. And two words that I will explain at the top of hour three on today's broadcast, and it is a must-listen to hour. Two words, tradition and heritage. But first, I want to take you to something that happened yesterday that I believe is really, really critical that we discuss. First of all, the Job Council. Yesterday, Donald Trump shut down the Jobs Council. And that is because since Saturday, you have had Merck, Under Armour, Johnson & Johnson, United Tech, Corning, GE, Intel, and Campbell Soup leave. Now, a lot of these guys, you can just say, well, they didn't like Donald Trump anyway. Yeah. But they did love America enough, and they had the balls as a CEO of a publicly traded company. That's important to understand. You're not just an individual anymore. If you are the CEO of a company, you have a fiduciary responsibility to the shareholders. You must do the right thing for the company. So it doesn't matter what you believe. You could be in massive litigation if you don't exercise your fiduciary responsibility to represent the money that has been lent to you to build your company. And here's how you can destroy your company: by standing with someone who is saying something very, very unpopular. If you want to, and very few people have the balls to do this, we need more of these people. If you want to, you can quit and you make a statement that I'm quitting because of my fiduciary responsibility. It's not right for me to have an attack on the shareholders and the shares and the stock of this company because I personally believe this is right. But because I personally believe this is right, I have to leave my company and I'm standing here. That takes courage. Most people aren't willing to give up their money for that. So don't judge the men or the women that are CEOs. They may never have liked Donald Trump, but they loved America enough to say, I'm going to sit down with this guy and I'm going to help him build a better America. I'm going to help him build better jobs. I'm going to advise him because he's asked me. He's the president. And so I salute all of them for stepping up to the plate and getting involved, which was against many of their personal desires. But because Saturday, the president came out and did not give a excoriation of white supremacy, the Klan, and the Nazis, which is the easiest thing to do, to speak from your heart on that one. Which one of us couldn't be woken up out of a dead sleep and say, hey, white supremacists, the Klan, and the Nazis are at the front door. They say you're friends of theirs. Do you want to make a statement? In a dead sleep, you'd go, what? They're not friends of mine. I hate those guys. Right? And some say, under the counsel of Bannon, and I'm giving you this because that's the best case scenario for Donald Trump. Under the advice of Bannon, he was told, don't take those people on. So he didn't. Then on Monday, he gave a very clumsy teleprompter speech. So now we know Donald Trump. We know he can't read a teleprompter and act like it's his words. We know that he doesn't write those words. And a lot of times when he's on a teleprompter, it's because somebody has said to him, you must say these things. So he said it, and he made it somewhat better, but because of his silence on Saturday, the ship had already sailed, but it made it somewhat better. And then he came out in a press conference, and he blew he blew every bridge up. So what does that mean? Let me give you two things. The job approval rating is now at 34%. That's a new low. There's two polls, Marist and Gallup. One is at 35, one is at 34. These are both the lowest it's been, and these both ended Saturday. So my guess is his approval rating is much lower than 34, 35% today. Steve Bannon came out, it was out yesterday, and there are two stories that are really not good for the president. One is the American Prospect. The American Prospect received a call from Steve Bannon's office. The American Prospect is not a website that you or I read. It is a very progressive leftist website. Steve Bannon calls 2 days ago and said, hey, I'm just calling for the CEO. I'm a big fan. He didn't say I'm a big fan at this point. He just said, hey, I need to talk to so-and-so. He's the CEO, editor-in-chief. I want to have a conversation with him. So that guy's secretary calls him. He's on vacation with his family, and he thinks he's going to get hammered because they're currently running a story about how, you know, Donald Trump, didn't win this thing with North Korea. It was really China. And, you know, North Korea knew we had no place to go, but it was China that did it. So he's expecting Steve Bannon to call him up and, you know, read him the riot act. They've never talked before. He says, tell Steve that I can't meet with him at the White House and I can't meet with him in New York. I'm on vacation with the family, but I'll gladly take his phone call. Bannon calls immediately. At no time did Steve ask if this should be or could be off the record? He just launches in. And the editor writes in an article that was released yesterday, it was bizarre because he didn't call him out. Instead, what he did was, boy, were you right about this or what?
And the guy recorded it, right?
Yeah.
So we know he's telling the truth.
Yeah. And there's another part of that story that we also know it's true. And that is because Bannon's people confirmed that that is what happened. Steve's excuse is, I thought it was off the record. Well, might work for Donald Trump, might work for the Wall Street Journal, a guy who's never been around the media, but you are a media mogul. You know that's not true. So he says to him, and this is what's really important. He said, listen, boy, did you get this right? Now, remember, the article said, in Kim, Trump has met his match. The risk of two arrogant fools blundering in a nuclear exchange is more serious than any time since October 1962. Bannon calls him up and said, boy, I have been a big fan of yours and your magazine for a very long time. I read it all the time. I've been reading you for years. I think you and I are on the same boat when it comes to China. You nailed it. We're at an economic war with China. And we've been down this path with North Korea before. It's a long sideshow. I'm quoting, you know, there's no military solution to North Korea's nuclear threats. Forget that. Until somebody solves that part of the equation and shows me that 10 million people in Seoul don't die in the first 30 minutes with conventional weapons, then I don't know what you're talking about. There's no military solution here. They got us. Okay, what did you just do? Steve, what are you doing? Why would you go to the press and say that the president, and he goes on to talk about how our adversaries, know this, that the military says that there's no option, and pretty much we're bluffing. Not good. Then he talks about he is going to take on the Department of State and the Department of Defense, because he's tired of those who are trying to mess with his agenda. Oh, they're wetting themselves, he said. But I'm changing the people out at South Asian Defense. I'm going to get some hawks in there. And I'm getting Susan Thornton, the acting head of the Pacific Affairs, out at State. That's a fight I do every day here. We're still fighting. And then there's Treasury and the Economic Council chair, Gary Cohn, and his Goldman Sachs lobbying guys. We got to do it. We got to do it. Not only did he call this guy, and the White House and Bannon's office has confirmed that they talk. He just thought it was off the record. He then picked up the phone and called the New York Times and did almost the same thing. And Bannon's office confirms that he did also talk to them. Why would he do that? Why would he do that? Because the president he has crossed the Rubicon. When you have the Economic Council leaving, he is isolated now from everyone. When you have a few other things that I don't have time to get into now, but with the media and specifically with Fox News, some developments that happened yesterday with Fox News, there is writing on the wall that you are in deep trouble and your big allies are turning. So Bannon, I believe, made these phone calls because he's now daring the president. You go ahead. You want me on the outside? I'll do damage to you like you can't believe. Because let's not forget, I have friends in the media. And I have friends with the alt-right. I have friends with Breitbart. We'll take you apart. What he's saying to the president now, he's holding the president hostage. He's now strutting around like a peacock going, go ahead, Mr. President, fire me. Go ahead, fire me. And he's not doing it because he wants his thumb over Donald Trump. He's doing it because he wants his thumb over people like Kelly and McMaster and everyone else. This is a lose-lose situation now for the president. Because if he fires Bannon, Bannon is out into the cold and God only knows what he's going to do. If you keep him, you are sending a signal to Kelly and McMaster and everybody else. Look, just take it because I got to have him here. And they won't take that. The president made a critical error on Saturday and then made it much worse with his press conference on Tuesday. And I have to tell you, I was just on Bill O'Reilly's show Tuesday or Wednesday, and he asked me, so is Donald Trump, do you think he's going to survive his, you know, four-year term? And I said, I don't know. Everybody's always been saying he's out. After I saw what happened with the Economic Council yesterday, there's no way that he's going to be able to cobble together the people he needs for any real reform. They won't work with him now because they can't. The Republicans are all canceling their appearances on any network, including Fox. They don't want to be a part of this. The president is alone. There are enemies inside. And there's only two options. Get out or become a strong man. I believe the president and this presidency is over. I know you don't want to hear that, but I'm sorry. Show me the path to healing that this president is capable of pulling off. Now this, how much time do you spend booking travel? There is a better way. You don't waste any more time now pricing out, you know, your flights and the hotels and doing it on the same sites, but, you know, having to do your hotels over here and your flight, you can now bundle them all together at Upside. And that's where you get the upside. This website, this is the guy who started Priceline, and he's come up with a better way where he's put the hotel chains and all of the services that you need when you get into town and the flights all together. So there, it's a group discount, and it's huge. The real upside deal is that right now, if you use the promo code Beck, you're guaranteed to get at least a $100 Amazon gift card on your package purchase. $100 gift card if you use the promo code Beck at upside.com. You're going to save a ton of money for your company. Every dollar you save, you get extra dollars from Amazon for you. Everybody wins. Upside.com. See site for complete details. Upside.com.
You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
This is one reason why I warned so gravely about Steve Bannon during the campaign. Steve Bannon is a bad guy. He's threatened the president of the United States. Make no mistake. He is telling Donald Trump, this is my White House.
You bet he is.
And Donald Trump needs to fire Steve Bannon today. Or he
this
does lose.
The Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.
Do you get into a rut where you're at home and you're kind of making the same dinners over and over and over and over again? And, it's, you know, you might even like it, but it's like the same thing over and over again. You never break out of your mold. That's one thing that Blue Apron has definitely helped me with. Blue Apron is a great, great service that sends the best ingredients and recipes right to your house so you can make gourmet meals at home, and even a moron like me can actually make them taste good. Huh. This is an incredible feat they've been able to pull off. Plus, it's a lot of stuff that I've never would have thought to try. I never would have even attempted. And you make it and you think, wow, why do I even bother going out to restaurants? This is much better. Check out this week's menu. You get your first three meals free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/stew. You'll love how good it feels and tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron, so don't wait. It's blueapron.com/stew. blueapron.com/stew. Blue Apron, a better way to cook.
In about 6 hours, I am leaving the country to a company. I'm leaving the country for good. They're on to me. I got to get out of here. I'm going to accompany Operation OUR on a rescue. We are putting together something that we are going to announce here in the next few weeks. That is the biggest thing I think I've ever been involved in. We are going to kick the Nazarene Fund up about 100 notches. And I think you're going to be really pleased and excited. I told Tanya and I were talking in bed last night until almost 2 o'clock. And I said, honey, I think this, besides raising our children, this is the most important thing we will ever do with our lives. Because I'm gone tomorrow, Bill O'Reilly decided to join us today because I really want to talk to him about what's happening at the White House, especially with Steve Bannon. This is a critical week for the president. I think he has made some moves and had failures that are so epic and titanic in scale that I don't think he survives this. And I want to talk to him about that. And Steve Bannon yesterday made a power play, a strong one, where he basically is backing the president into a corner today. And I don't even think saying, you know, you're not going to fire me. I think he's saying, I'm going to control this White House. So you can't fire me because you're afraid of firing me. And if he doesn't fire Bannon today or tomorrow, I believe that he will lose McMaster and he will lose General Kelly. And there's no good that comes out of this. Bannon has to be fired. Bill O'Reilly, his opinion. We begin right now.
Entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Bill O'Reilly has come out with an opinion piece on Charlottesville. And I want to just read one thing. America, there is indeed a civil war underway. And the president, along with his supporters, will lose that war unless they fight it smarter. Anytime Nazis are involved, you condemn them and walk away. That's all. There will be time to expose the hard left fanatics down the road. It's about picking your spots. It's about an effective wartime strategy. Bill O'Reilly, welcome to the program. Could not agree with you more, Bill, but I don't think the president... You asked me this on your podcast 2 days ago, and I gave you a different answer. When I saw what happened with Bannon yesterday, I think the president is unfortunately done. I don't know if he recovers from this.
I don't see it that way. When you are a president of the United States, even if your opinion polling is low, you still have an enormous amount of power. And he has the ability, Trump does, to kind of isolate Bannon. And Bannon doesn't really have anything other than the court of public opinion to fight back with.
Okay, so hang on just a second. But Bannon came out yesterday and pretty much announced, hey, I'm the leaker, talking to not only the New York Times, but the Prospect. What he said to the Prospect and the New York Times, stunning.
Give me an example of what stunned you and what he said.
Let me see here. First of all, in Kim, Trump has met his match. the risk of too arrogant. No, sorry, that's not it.
He said they've got us.
Yeah,
he said North Korea's got us.
They've got us. He said. He said there is no military solution to North Korea's nuclear threats. Forget it. And until somebody solves the part of the equation that shows me that 10 million people in Seoul don't die in the first 30 minutes from conventional weapons, I don't even know what you're talking about. There's no military solution. They've got us. Not something the president would approve of. Then he goes in to say, I'm changing out people in East Asian defense. I'm getting Hawks in. I'm getting Susan Thornton out at state. That's a fight I have every day. Then I'm going to take on the Treasury with Cohn and the Goldman Sachs lobbying. So he is saying basically, here's my agenda, and I'm going to do these things. While he's saying the president was bluffing, there's no way to win a war with North Korea, which we all know. But you don't say that if you're in the White House.
All right. So you have a guy who is sending a signal because he believes he will be fired. That, you know, he's powerful, and if you fire me, bad things are going to happen. That's my assessment of the bluster.
Yes.
That is printed. And you agree with that, right?
Yes, yes.
Okay. So, okay, Trump's got to make a decision. And the decision most likely will be that Bannon will be fired. And then I think that'll probably come next week. Because Trump can't back down. He's not that kind of guy anyway.
Yep.
So Bannon leaves.
And then
Bannon basically tries to rally through Breitbart and other, you know, conservative places, to rally that Trump has lost his mojo and it's all over. So what? I mean, the American people aren't going to listen to Steve Bannon en masse. They're not. And all Trump has to do is basically do it quickly and not say anything, not comment to what Bannon does. And then in a month, it'll all be gone.
Okay, that assumes a couple of things. One, that Donald Trump can fire somebody and then not say anything about it.
All right, but Kelly will fire him. And I'm sure that Kelly and Trump will basically have a strategy going forward. But you might be right. Trump might, you know, make a bigger deal out of it than he should, which is what happened in Charlottesville.
So here's the thing. As I've been watching this Charlottesville thing, as you said in your op-ed, you know, you got it for the love of Pete. You're the Nazis, good or bad. They're bad. White supremacists, they're bad.
But there was never a time when Trump said they weren't bad.
No, I know that. But that's
just propaganda crap.
But wait a minute, Bill. Wait a minute. Out of a dead sleep, you're the president of the United States. You know you take a hard line stance because that's what we all believe.
Right.
And then he says, well, I wanted a couple of days to figure it all out. He comes out with a statement that he's reading. So, and everybody knows those aren't his words. I'm not saying he supports the Nazis or white supremacists, but then he comes out and says it, and then he won't leave it alone. And then the next day he comes out and he undoes everything.
Well, that's the key. Won't leave it alone.
Correct.
He doesn't have the discipline to
be president of the United States
on the far left. Look, that's what I say in the column. And by the way, if folks want to read it, then go to BillO'Reilly.com and read it. It was also originally printed in The Hill. But that's the problem that Donald Trump has, is that he can't constrain himself.
Correct.
All right? His hatred or his annoyance, whatever word you want to put, is valid. I mean, the far left is trying to overthrow not only his election, but the entire country, as we discussed.
I agree with you.
You don't bring it in when you're talking about Nazis.
So so help me out with this, because there are many things. The left is beyond reason with hatred of Donald Trump, and it's never going to stop. And the press is never going to stop. I got it. And I think everybody knew that going in, and that's fine. But if you're in a war like that,
yeah,
you have to play your cards right. So here's the jobs council: Merrick, Under Armour, Johnson & Johnson, United Tech, Corning, GE, Intel, Campbell Soup. These guys, a lot of these guys didn't like Donald Trump, but they have fiduciary responsibility. They all walk out this week. So the president has now lost...
Do you know why they walked out?
Yeah, pressure. Pressure.
From?
The far left.
Yes.
They have a fiduciary... They have a fiduciary responsibility. They cannot have their companies. They would all be sued by their shareholders. And so I want you to know, I'm not
You nailed the reason, but the fiduciary responsibility comes in operating your corporation honestly. So to say that, oh, well, I disagreed with Trump's analysis of Charlottesville, so I'm quitting.
No, no.
That's not why they quit.
No. Perception is reality, Bill.
No, but you have to look.
I understand that, but perception is... But
how dangerous this is.
Perception is reality. You're fighting. Your argument is, so you stood with the guy. Perception is reality. That's not... I'm not saying this is what happened. I'm saying this is what... Everyone will believe, and the case that will be made, and it'll be swept into it.
No, look, there's a poll out today that says 67% of Republicans have no problem with Trump's analysis of Charlottesville. All right. So you're a CEO. You're on the Economic Council. It's an economic council. It's not a council on racism or Nazis or anything else. All right. So you choose to walk away because your belief system is opposed to Donald Trump. I don't have any problem with that. Okay, I don't have any problem with that. But if you walk away because far-left groups say to you, if you don't, we're going to organize a boycott against your company. If you walk away because of that reason, our democracy is shot.
You know what? You know, you're living in a dream world. You know that corporations settle a litigation all the time, even though they're in the right, and it is destroying our system. I know that
this is extortion, and if American corporations are going to allow themselves to be extorted,
of course they are.
Well, this has to be exposed.
To what end?
We're not going to have... Look, then every single commentator on every single television, radio, or internet program, all right, will go out of business because nobody will sponsor them when threatened with boycotts by the far left.
And that's what's happening. That's what's happening.
I know.
Okay, so Bill...
It's a very loud agreement right now.
So wait a minute. So Bill, hear me out here. I'm talking to you. You're talking about right and wrong.
I'm talking about doing
the right thing. Yes.
Doing the best for the country.
Correct. I agree with that. However, that's not the world we currently live in. And just hear this one thing out. You have the Jobs Council walking away. You have Steve Bannon threatening. You have the media just ripping him to shreds, and you have the GOP quietly canceling all of their appearances everywhere because nobody in the GOP wants to stand next to Donald Trump. He has isolated himself, and he doesn't have the ability or the strength to be able to hold the line and to make this moral case. I would love a president, and Ronald Reagan could have made this case. I don't see Donald Trump having the discipline, the acumen to be able to make this case and withstand this storm, this ongoing storm, much of it of his own creation because of sloppiness and no discipline. How does he survive?
I'm not going to disagree, but it's speculation. All right, you're speculating that he doesn't have the resources or the discipline to overcome what's befallen him. You might be right, but that's not my job. Your job's different than mine.
But
my job is to basically say to the American people, this is what's actually happening. Okay, this is what's happening.
Right.
So Trump goes out and he basically makes a big mistake by not just condemning Nazis and walking away. He brings in other matters.
Yep.
And then the press takes that and says he's a Nazi sympathizer.
Yep.
And they run wild.
Okay. And he is not. I don't believe he is a Nazi. I don't even believe.
No sane person believes Donald Trump's a Nazi sympathizer.
And I don't believe that even Steve Bannon, who I despise, is a Nazi sympathizer.
Well, I don't even care about Bannon. You care far more about him than I do.
Because he's a powerful player, not only in the White House, but
if Trump fires him, which is likely,
conservative media.
That in a month that most people will even forget him. But look,
that's what they said about Van Jones. He's now on CNN.
All right. No, that's probably Bannon will probably wind up somewhere. Anyway, look, you're speculating that Trump cannot overcome it. You might be right. You might be right. But in the meantime, the American people should get the truth that this walkout of this economic council was not driven by moral outrage. It was driven by fear.
Yeah, it's
fear of economic damage caused
exactly
by
right.
boycott.
You and I have no disagreement on that. None.
Good.
But
good.
What you're saying is you deal in reality. No, Bill, I deal in reality. That's the reality. There isn't a CEO. You show me the people who actually have a spine to stand up. So I would like people to have a spine. I try to have a spine. You try to have a spine. But none of those people have a spine.
Well, the only solution to that is transparency, is to get out what the forces of darkness are doing. It would make it easier for these CEOs not to fold. But right now, people don't understand what the boycott situation is, why sponsors were pulled from the O'Reilly Factor, because Media Matters threatened the sponsors. They don't understand it. So once it's exposed, and of course, the New York Times not going to expose it,
no.
They're in on it.
Yeah.
All right? So, but the threat
I know.
To our freedom by this kind of behavior is off the chart.
I agree with you. And let me take a break. I want to come back and I want to talk to you about the future of the media because of that. And we'll go there next. First, let me tell you about Simply Safe, our sponsor. Summer is burglary season, and that's coming from the Justice Department. Simply Safe Home Security extended their biggest ever summer sale to September 3rd. And I don't want you to miss out on this. You can leave your home for vacation feeling secure because you have Simply Safe, and you're not paying money. I swear to you, people think that money just shoots out of people's butts. It used to come on to trees. No, that would require you to pick it. No. This just shoots out of your butt because it has to, because everything is so expensive. Not Simply Safe. They have $100 off their summer special package. It has everything you need to keep your home safe from intruders. I want you to check it out for yourself. Also, round-the-clock monitoring. It's not $40 a month. It's $15 a month. And no long-term contract. It's month to month. So you own it. You have control of your own security and control of your finances. Go to simplysafebeck.com. Save $100. It's simplysafebeck.com.
This is
the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.
If you owe back taxes to the IRS, you're not going to like hearing about their 92% conviction rate. That means the IRS wins 92% of tax avoider cases they prosecute. Maybe you skated by this long, but they are coming. You have to get out in front of your IRS problems before they show up at your home and your work, before they take your paycheck and bank accounts, and before they add you to their 92% conviction rate. Call Optima Tax Relief. They're the experts. They step between you and the IRS and start resolving the problems that keep you up at night. Just call. Ask how they've resolved over $500 million of tax debt for their clients. Ask about their A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. And ask about the Fresh Start program with a chance to settle your back taxes for pennies on the dollar. These guys know what they're doing. You've seen the success stories. Give them a call. 800-706-3011. 800-706-3011. 800-706-3011. Optima Tax Relief.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Welcome to the program. Welcome to Bill O'Reilly. You know, I invited him into my house, and then I immediately started yelling at him, and I apologized to Bill for not at least greeting him before I started yelling. Hello, Bill. How are you?
I'm good, Beck.
Good. You're wrong, Bill! You're not good!
Now, this is just an extension of our conversation we had on BillO'Reilly.com earlier on Tuesday.
I know. I came wearing a tie and a jacket because I'm on the Bill O'Reilly show, and you came in your underpants.
No, I was wearing a very spiffy sports shirt. But you looked exactly like Colonel Sanders. And, all throughout the program, we were getting orders coming in on our internet line.
Okay, see, this is not a...
Buckets and mashed potatoes and stuff like that. They really thought you were the Colonel.
Did they generally want the extra crispy? Or just...
Yeah, they did. Yeah. The extra crispy was big. But, you know...
You're not getting my secret recipe ever, Bill. Ever. You're never getting my secret recipe. Okay, we have to come back, and I take a quick break with Bill O'Reilly. I want to talk to him about the future of the media, because I believe last week really was the end of the beginning, and now we are at the beginning of the middle, if you will, of our story of America and the fundamental transformation that is really, truly still happening in America, and the media is playing a big role. And I think it's damn near in full-fledged collapse on both sides. Next.
The Glenn Beck Program. Mercury. The Glenn Beck Program.
Here's what's really exciting is we have BillO'Reilly.com and Bill O'Reilly on with us right now. I don't think he's going to have much to say when I ask him about Berkeley announcing the free speech year, where Berkeley is going to teach everybody how to all come together and be tolerant and really celebrate diversity and free speech. Bill, that's exciting news, isn't it?
Very exciting.
You sound almost like you don't believe that might happen in a good way.
It's so exciting, Beck. I'm going to buy a condo in Berkeley.
Really?
I'm moving there so I can have free speech rights, because I'm sure they'll respect what I say.
Yeah.
And we can have a very, very intelligent, calm dialogue with those people out there.
And that is the problem with America, is we can't. Now, let me change to the media. Bill, I think you would agree with me that, you know, the media and tolerance and actual fair and balance has changed on multiple fronts.
Done. It's done. Absolutely done.
Done.
What you're seeing, talk radio is the last holdout, because basically you guys can run the show the way you want. Your syndicators and your corporations understand who you are. That's why they hired you. You're going to take some hits on sponsors from time to time, but you basically do and say what you want. But on television, it's totally different, because there are so many things involved. You've got in cable, you've got all the different systems that have to buy the program. You've got the corporations that run the actual presentations. Mm-hmm. And all of these people are very susceptible to being attacked, as we talked about in the prior segment. And the far left knows this. They know they can hire people like Color of Change.
Yep.
I want everybody to Google Color of Change. Mm-hmm. This is an organization that is formed solely to get paid to go out and attack people with whom they disagree publicly.
No.
Right? And so they're for hire. You can hire them to go stand in front of a building or to go stand in front of a house and scream and yell and accuse and smear and hold signs and do whatever they want. Well, instead of marginalizing that group as anti-democracy, the corporations fear them. And Color of Change, Media Matters, all of these people, they know that.
Well, besides, okay, hang on. That's quite a statement here, Bill. Besides the actual evidence of one of the guys who started Color for Change Van Jones working for CNN, what evidence do you have that they embrace and bring Color of Change into the news media?
First of all, Van Jones is a self-avowed communist. We all know that, right?
No.
All right, so he even says he is. Right. I don't have anything against Van Jones, by the way. Right. But the organization, all right, and many others like it, they're not the only ones, all right? They are basically being paid good money to do destructive things. And corporations know it, but look the other way and tremble when they get the call from Color of Change.
Do you think, Bill?
This is what you want Nazis again? Let's get Nazis in here again.
Oh, no.
You want Nazis? I'll give you Nazis. Okay, this is exactly what happened in Germany in the early 30s, when the Third Reich people would show up and basically tell the newspapers, "Hey, if you say one bad word against us, we're going to burn your place down." Okay? So you better not. Now, the Color of Change people, they're burning the place down through sponsors, not through torches. But it's the same thing. And Stalin did it, and Castro did it. They all do it.
Yep.
And people don't know about it.
So, Bill...
No, let me. I'll ask your next question and answer back. So, how does that affect people on television that you see every night? They're scared as well. They're frightened. One of the few that isn't is Hannity. You know, I've had my issues with Hannity in the past, but I admire Hannity for going out there and basically being in your face, telling the folks what is going on. You may not agree with Hannity's take, but he's honest about it, and he loves Trump. He thinks Trump's the savior of the country. But he'll tell you that he's under siege 24-7. But that's a very rare exception. The others are, I better not say this. That's right. We have to condemn Trump. You know, Trump made a mistake, a tactical error. All right? He's not an idealistic Nazi. But that's what you're hearing in the media constantly over and over. And who's saying that's not true? They're afraid to say it, Beck.
Well, I will tell you, hang on just a second. Let me give you, and I agree with you, Bill. You know that I agree with you. I mean, when you're treading the Van Jones Color of Change Media Matters thing, I got that one down in spades. I'll show you all the chalkboards on that. So I agree with you. However, there is one name that people don't pay attention to, and they should, because I believe this guy is one of my heroes. Michael Medved. Michael.
Oh, he's great.
Okay, so.
He's great.
Do you know what happened to Michael?
Tell me.
So, his corporation, his radio corporation, put down an edict that you are not allowed to have anybody on air that is anti-Trump, and everybody's falling in line. Michael was the only one that pushed back and was fired. Michael doesn't have his radio gig now. Because he stood against the same kind of fascism, just on the other side. There is the fascist on both sides.
But it's not nearly as organized.
Oh, I agree with you on that. I agree with you on that.
I experienced it when I did the Radio Factor. I did Radio Factor for 7 years.
Yeah.
And I was not a conservative ideologue by any means, and I got attacked by the right, as you know.
Yes.
And I remember one station in Houston... basically called us and said, "Well, we don't like O'Reilly's there. We're going to drop them." Good. You know, I mean, because it was just one station out of 280.
Yeah,
we had or something like
that. I agree with you. And the blessing on the right is, you know, hurting a bunch of libertarians and free market people is like hurting cats. It's almost impossible. So we can't get our act together, well enough to boycott the free speech that we shouldn't allow to have. So that's a good thing. They're so disorganized. They're way behind the left.
Way behind.
It does exist, but it is way behind. So let me ask you this, Bill. Play out the media, because people may not know the names. They may not know the connections like you do, like we've tried to lay out for a long time. But they... they know they're not getting the truth. And on top of it, all they're getting is yelling back and forth, you're a Nazi or you're a communist.
But there's not even much yelling anymore because all of the, not all, but most of the commentators, at least on cable news, are cowed. And they know now that their whole livelihood is in jeopardy. Look, on Wednesday night, Tuesday night, the biggest news night of the year with Trump and Charlottesville, right? The press conference.
Yep.
Guess who came in third in cable news?
Fox.
Guess who came in third?
Fox?
Yes. Mm. Fox News came in third. Mm. CNN and MSNBC, CNN beat them in the demo, MSNBC beat them outright, and it wasn't even close. Fox, it was stunning to watch the television ratings come in. Why? Because on Fox, which would be naturally inclined to give President Trump the benefit of the doubt, all right? Yep. That the benefit of the doubt.
Yep.
They no longer do that en masse because they're afraid. And so the audience of Fox knows, outside of Hannity and maybe Carlson a little bit, they're not going to get a robust defense of the right, of the conservative position. And so they don't watch. Yet the left hate Trumpers flock in to watch CNN and MSNBC work Donald Trump over.
Okay,
so therefore the whole thing is changing and collapsing.
Okay, so may I propose one change to this theory and see what you think? I agree with that theory generally, except this time. Because of the injection of the actual torch-carrying, Nazi banner-wearing, Jew, you know, anti-Jew chanting Nazis, now people don't want to, they don't feel comfortable with a full-throated, and I'm talking about the audience, a full-throated defense, because it worked to Trump's to his advantage.
That's absolutely right, Beck, but right. You don't have to do that. You do what I did in my two columns on this. You explain the mistakes Trump is making.
Correct.
Which I did, all right? And then you say, here's what should take place.
Yes.
Here's the truth.
Yes.
Okay? That's all the audience wants. The audience isn't mad at me. My audience on BillO'Reilly.com and on The Hill and every place else I go isn't mad at me because I point out Trump's mistakes. They aren't. They're happy that I'm trying to apply some perspective to it. That's what's missing. And so that you have a media now that is, it's flocking. It's unbelievable. Let's get Trump out of office. That's the goal of the media.
Yes.
So where is the counter to that? It's evaporating, which is why Fox News came in third place on Tuesday.
Because I don't think, honestly, I have a very low opinion of people in the news. I don't think they're generally curious. I think they're intellectually dishonest. I think they've gone a little dead inside, quite honestly. And so I don't know that many people that can make that intelligent case and draw that line and be able to say, nope, he's wrong here, he's right there. Most of them are too afraid by the numbers, by, you know, whatever. And so
they're intimidated, but
right,
they don't really have the intellectual heft to do it anyway.
Exactly right.
All
and,
right.
And you have the intellectual heft to do that. and that's why you're being successful right now. Our ratings are going up. While everybody else is going down, our ratings are up 11%. Why? Because we will tell you when Donald Trump has done well, and we will tell you when he's really screwing it up. We will try to give you perspective as well, but I don't believe that people are comfortable right now, and this is what the media thinks they have to do on the right, and that is just you back him, no matter what. That's not the right course.
You can't do that.
Right.
But you can't buy into a dishonest analysis. But you're wrong about why your ratings are going up, Beck. It's your goatee. It's the goatee. Ever since that sprouted.
Wait a minute. Did Bill O'Reilly just make something not about him?
I thought for
that
sure.
That is not possible.
Personal attack.
Wow. Bill, good to talk to you. BillO'Reilly.com. Check out his new webcast. Once in a while, he has a good guest, like Colonel Sanders.
Oh, yeah, it's all about you, man. Yeah.
BillO'Reilly.com. Check him out every day. The no spin news. Thank you very much, Bill. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me in.
You bet. All right, let me tell you about Goldline. The delinquency rates on deep subprime car loans hit a post-recession low. That is in 2012. They have been ticking up ever since. Now, delinquency rates on those car loans have hit levels not seen since 2007, right before the big crash. This is, to me, this is the fundamental marker that we've been watching for. Back in 2007, I was watching for oil to hit 140. To me, I thought 140, the housing market just collapses. I was wrong. It was 130 that oil hit and the housing market collapsed. There's certain pressure points that you have to watch. There is such a deep, gigantic bubble of subprime car loans, not mortgages. We just move the house thing to the cars. It's enormous. And when that begins to default, and news came out just yesterday that it is now starting to really tick up quickly, and they're starting to really default, that's when you're going to see real economic trouble, I believe. I want you to call Goldline. Goldline provides the service of something that's physical that you can hold in your hand that will last the test of time. I don't know what the future is going to look like, but I can tell you for the last 20,000 years, the world, when it collapses, always goes back to gold. Have something with intrinsic value that will never go to zero. Please consider putting 10% of what you have in your 401k. Do you remember what it was like in 2008? Please take 10% and protect it. And ask Goldline about their price protection program. For as little as $2,500, you get 3 months of price protection. You get a year if you invest $25,000, which means they'll guarantee that they'll make up. If it goes down, they'll make it up with more gold. So you don't lose. Goldline, 1-866-GOLDLINE, 1-866-GOLDLINE or goldline.com.
Glenn Beck Program. 888-727-BACK.
Mercury.
The Glenn Beck Program.
888-727-BECK.
I always love Bill O'Reilly, but sometimes I think he's pranking me. I'm not sure always. What a wild hour. And next hour promises to be just as crazy. Don't miss a second. Next.
The Glenn Beck Program.
Mercury.
Hello, America. Let's try to talk some reason. Shall we do that? Let's start here. Yesterday we heard the Nazi, hey, Jews must die, or whatever their chant was. It was one of the worst chants I've ever heard.
Jews will not replace
us. Yeah, that's
Jews
it. Jews will not replace us. Jews will not replace us. I have heard some bad chants before. I believe that is the worst one I've heard. The worst recruiting tool I've ever heard. But I do want to remind you, over the last 10 years, we've heard some pretty bad chants as recruiting tools. We're going to give you maybe as much of a top 10 as we can, knowing the Nazis do get number one. We begin there right now.
entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Shouldn't we give the Nazis an award? Is that what you were saying?
But you're saying wow. Nazis are number one?
Nazis wow. are number one. Glenn Beck, wow. did everybody hear that? I hope people heard that. Has he apologized? Why won't he take Nazis on? Unbelievable.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I apologize.
No, I don't.
That statement no, was... I don't. Yes, I do. No, I don't. That was crazy. I was reading a script. Let's go through some of the... Now, I asked Pat yesterday to go back and just let's look at the slogans from America in our last 10 years. America, this is your decade. Yeah. Wait. Yeah. What was that one? Pat?
That was
stop it. Can you stop
not
it,
deportation, please? Education.
And this is
hey, hello.
You will not divide us.
Stop it. Stop for Pat. You got to stop for a second.
Can you stop it, Pat?
Yes.
No, he can't. He's got like 600 things in front of him. He's lost control. NASA, we have a problem. Pat is loose in space.
Houston.
And we don't think he's going to make it. Do they? You have to play them all together, or can you stop them one by one?
Yeah, I could probably stop them
probably,
one by one.
Oh, good. We're on Apollo 13.
Yeah.
America, this is Apollo 13. It would have been Apollo 1 if it was our number one, but we've cleared the launch pad, but I'm not sure we're going to make it home.
Let me play them carefully one by one.
And okay, that would be good.
Yes.
Yes.
Here's one. Okay, so that's no justice, no peace, no racist police.
Okay.
No justice, no peace, no racist police.
Okay.
No justice, no peace, police. Okay.
Okay, that was
that's catchy.
That's catchy,
right?
Yeah.
Because
easy to remember.
Police and peace seem to rhyme.
They seem to. They seem to. Keyword: they seem to.
Here's a nice one too. New York hates you. New York hates you.
You know, what's funny is that's not a protest. That's the welcoming committee at the tunnel.
And it had nothing to do with Trump. It was just everybody who was coming into town.
Right.
Oh, this is one of my favorites. Ho, ho.
Donald Trump has got to go.
Okay, hey. Ho, ho. Donald Trump has got to go because go... And ho.
Right.
That's innovative.
That's why that one's catchy.
That's pretty good.
Now, this took place at Gary Bear's house. He was the Bank of America executive. You might remember this from...
Oh, this is the one where his daughter was hiding in the bathroom?
His son was.
Son.
9 years old. Kids home alone, waiting for his parents to get back from work. And 500 people.
Wasn't it SEIU?
SEIU. Mm-hmm. Show up on the guy's lawn yelling this. Bank of America, bad for America.
Now, these are terrible.
Wait, I got the... Wait a minute, hang on. I've got the key now. America rhymes
what?
With America.
Oh, yeah,
no.
Except for no. It's
no?
just the same word.
I thought That's I not... had that down.
However, let me give you this right. little subtle nugget. Bank... And bad both start with B-A.
Wow.
That is clever.
Man, that's
really
good.
Clever.
You know, that's really amazing is I remember when this happened, and I thought at that time we were headed for what we're headed for most likely this fall, the American fall, American spring. Did I just say that out loud?
Yes,
I should have eased you into that. Hey, have you seen what's happening in the news? Riots this fall. I remember seeing this, and they were on the porch and surrounding the house. It was amazing. Mm. And the 9-year-old?
Yeah, one of the kids was home, right?
Yeah. 9-year-old. If you have children, think of your 9-year-old. I have a 13-year-old son. He would be freaked out of his mind. And the kid had, like, locked himself in the bathroom, was so freaked out by it. That's how bad. I mean, we've seen this before in the 1920s, and then again, 19-teens under Wilson, early 1920s, and then we saw it again in the 30s. Every time there's a progressive in the White House, we have this. And we're about to see it again. Boy, in the 1930s, you know, Google search American riots 1930s. You won't believe how violent these unions and the communists and the Nazis were when they took over cities or city blocks. They just beat you to death. But they didn't have the rhyme of America with America.
Right. They weren't quite as creative as these people are.
Right. These guys are shrewd and sharp.
Oh, they are sharp.
Mm. Yeah.
I mean, the Nazis have a long way to go to catch up to these guys, I think.
Right.
Because they didn't rhyme ho and go.
Right. In fact, I don't think the Nazis did. Do you have the Nazi chant?
Yes, I do.
Okay, so here's the current Nazi chant. And this is, I mean, if this doesn't grab you and say, man, I want to be a part of this group, nothing will.
Let me make sure, because I
see. Attention, Houston.
Nazi chant. Okay.
Yeah, Apollo 13.
No, that's the anti-Nazi movie that we talked about the other day.
Yeah.
Go ahead and switch that switch, Houston. We're going to go back.
we just crashed into the ocean.
We miss again, you. Apollo 13, what you need to do is take, do you have a garden hose? Take a garden hose and some of your space tape.
Apollo 13, you just landed on Saturn. That's not Earth. That is Saturn.
The wrong way.
Well, that way they said Jews will not replace us a bunch of times is essentially what they did.
And there's no rhyme there.
No, they just went straight for saying the same thing over and
Jews
over again.
Jews will not replace us.
Which I don't, I don't fear. Oddly.
You know, even the Bank of America is bad for America. You're kind of like, you know what? I think that may be right. I disagree with those guys, but that slogan I kind of buy into.
Jews will not replace us!
Not that one. Not that one. That was bad timing. Well, Houston, we just went, he just said he agreed with something that we played Jews will not replace us.
Can somebody just open the hatch so we can all just be sucked out into space now? The Jews will not replace us is, I mean, if you're just, let's just say mm-hmm. you're a PR firm.
Okay.
Okay. Uh-huh. And you got to go, hi, Stu's PR. Mm-hmm. I got a group. I'm trying to get some new members. Some new members, and we got this slogan, and we just like you, just we're spitballing here,
right?
And we're saying Jews are taking over our heritage.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Do you respond? No, guys, got that all wrong. Use Jews will not replace us, because then it's heritage, you know, kind of your supremacy. And it's also could be construed as jobs, so you're going to get those people too.
I don't know. It doesn't seem very aspirational. It's like, hey, we're going to stay in the same place we are, and people won't be able to replace the thing that we're doing. It's like, I mean, if you went to We Will Replace the Jews, at least you'd be going for something. Right. There's at least something you're aspiring to. This is just, you're just saying you're staying in the same place.
I believe, you may misunderstand the Nazi Jewish chant. I do believe they will be going someplace.
That is where these things end.
Yeah, I do believe there is a destination that they have in mind.
We've harped on this point all week. I just don't get the obsession with the Jews. They seem like nice
Not
people.
At all.
I don't know. They seem lovely. There's
the weird
bizarre
hatred of and fear that they're going to somehow run everything or take
something?
Over everything.
So I have bizarre. I have pondered this for literally a decade. I have tried to figure this out because I've looked for the parallels of history. I've looked for the Holocaust. Holocaust though, is just the last one.
Right. You went through that whole list. We should do that again, maybe, bring back that list of all the times that Jews have been targeted in a mass way like this. It's happened over and over and over and over again.
Didn't you say at one point 119 times through history?
No, I think there's, I can't remember the number. I think there are 25 mass Holocausts. And they always leave a bit of it for the next one. Like the star, the yellow star, that was started in Persia. That wasn't something that happened, you know, the Germans didn't come up with that. I mean, and the star was actually an upgrade in Jewish Holocaust. When the Persians did it, you had to wear the star and a bell on your foot so people knew Jew approaching.
You had to wear a bell?
It was against the law if you're Jewish and you didn't wear bells on your feet. I mean, it's crazy.
Oh, my gosh.
But I've done a lot of thinking about this and tried to figure it out because it's so irrational. The most rational thing I could find as far as a reason in one case, and it's only because they lived in the time of magic, is during the Black Plague, they blamed the Black Plague on the Jews because they weren't getting sick.
Right.
But that's because they were living the law of Moses. Right. And here's an idea, washing their hands. Everybody else is like, yeah, I just took a big dump in the stew. Spitting in their hand, here, lick this. Everybody was living that kind of life. The Jews were like, I'm going to wash my hands because God tells me to. And they weren't getting sick. And so they said this was a Jewish plague that they were trying to kill us. That's the only one that I could think in the era of witchcraft that you could possibly see. The rest of it's completely irrational. So it takes you back. When did they start? And what is this really? And if you see Nazis, they're evil. Man, this is just evil. If you believe in an actual force of evil, which I don't think Jews do, surprisingly, they should. You think if anybody understood, man, there's a force out to get us, it would be the Jews that would think that. But if you think of evil as an entity trying to win against God, all you have to do is get God to break his promise, and he ceases to be God, right? God cannot break his promise. He cannot be proven wrong, or he's not God. Well, if you're Satan, all you got to do is break the first promise that he made to his people. You will always be my children. I will always protect you, and you will have more descendants than the stars in heaven. So don't worry about it. I got you. Well, if I'm Satan and it's just a little teeny tribe of about, 100 people, I can win that. I just have to kill them. And every time, it's just to kill all of the Jews. Why? Why are they the only ones? Kill all of them. Because you have to break the promise of God. This is only my theory. I've never read that anywhere. I don't know if anybody has easily disproven that theory. But that's the only thing I can come up with, is that evil every time thinks it's going to win. And just at the end, it's snatched away from them. They're like, argh! And that's why it always seems to leave a trace someplace. It always, where it ends, it's just transplanted it someplace else where the next one rises up. And we're seeing this. Persia was called Persia until Iran. Iran translates to Aryan, the first Aryan nation, which it changed its name from Persia to Iran as a gift to Hitler. So you're seeing that great hatred of kill every Jew in the Middle East as in the death throes of the Nazi movement, it transplants over there. It's fascinating.
So you're saying, look, the Jews will replace us? Is that what you're saying? Oh my gosh. The Jews are going to replace us.
No. The Jews are going to replace us.
Boy, that's such a catchy slogan.
Yeah, I can't really get into it.
I got news for you. I'm sorry. You're going to be chanting that one all day.
No, you won't.
And now this. The Pentagon is pressing ahead with plans to conduct a major joint exercise in South Korea next week. This is a move that threatens to provoke North Korea. We do this all the time. We do this once a year. But South Korea doesn't want it to happen this year. They were going to launch a missile towards Guam. They blinked. Steve Bannon went out yesterday. And this is according to the White House. He admits that he did this. He went out to the press and said, yeah, there's no way to win a war against South Korea. I mean, they really got us. We got no place to go. What the hell are you doing? So now these exercises are next week. Let's just pray that the president's tough talk actually sticks and we hold everything in place. North Koreans traditionally view the military exercise as a rehearsal for an invasion. This is going to be a sticky week. This is going to be a sticky few months, honestly. I saw my wife last night about 2 o'clock in the morning. Honey, if the country makes it through to Christmas without major riots and without an economic depression, maybe we have more time. But everything, I mean, there is just one straw can break this back. I want you to get your survival food kit now this week, $99, 102 servings of survival food. It lasts up to 25 years. It's less than a dollar per serving. My Patriot Supply, these guys started this, Matt Redhawk and his crew, they're absolutely amazing. They're some of the best people that I know. Really, truly, really, truly believers in what they do and trying to come up with the best product at the cheapest price for you. Their whole system is they are capitalists, but they're not capitalists as much as they are servants, which to me makes the best capitalist. Matt Redhawk and My Patriot Supply. I want you to go to preparewithglenn.com right now. Preparewithglenn.com. Call 1-800-200-7163. 800-200-7163. That's preparewithglenn.com.
I will make a stand. I will raise my voice.
The fusion of entertainment and enlightenment.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Mercury.
If you owe back taxes to the IRS, you're not going to like hearing about their 92% conviction rate. That means the IRS wins 92% of tax avoider cases they prosecute. Maybe you skated by this long, but they are coming. You have to get out in front of your IRS problems before they show up at your home and your work. Before they take your paycheck and bank accounts, and before they add you to their 92% conviction rate, call Optima Tax Relief. They're the experts. They step between you and the IRS and start resolving the problems that keep you up at night. Just call. Ask how they've resolved over $500 million of tax debt for their clients. Ask about their A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau and ask about the Fresh Start program with a chance to settle your back taxes for pennies on the dollar. These guys know what they're doing. You've seen the success stories. Give them a call. 800-706-3011. 800-706-3011. 800-706-3011. Optima Tax Relief.
You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
All right. We haven't splashed down in the ocean yet. We are entering the atmosphere. It's still dicey for Apollo 13, but we do have one more really great slogan. A lot of people haven't heard this, but this is an all-time classic from protesters. Listen to this one. Okay, stop.
White slash. White trash first class. You probably don't recycle.
Firm on that? They're not firm on you not recycling?
No. That's why they threw the probably in there.
Yeah, they wanted to make sure they kept the...
Know for a fact.
Right.
The certitude. You probably don't.
Odds are your recycling is below average. That's what we're saying here.
Yeah, I gotta give them that. It's true.
Beck Program. Mercury.
The Glenn Beck Program.
Welcome to the program. Yesterday I told you that that I was going to share something with you today that you have to understand, because I believe in 2 years you will not recognize yourself.
You're talking about the chant?
What? No, I'm not talking about the chant.
The chant we just did before the break. The I think chant. A lot of people are wondering, what the heck did that mean? Is that what you were talking about? Or
no, that's not. No, I was.
Oh, okay.
No,
a lot of people have been emailing and tweeting about how that has changed their lives.
Yeah, just a second.
Yeah, I thought for sure that's what it was.
Can we talk about that? I mean,
we talk about
the idea is mm-hmm. that if you don't understand this one concept, mm-hmm. that I don't believe, mm-hmm. I believe you'll go off the rails and you will not recognize yourself in the next 2 to 4 years.
Seems like you're blowing the chant out of proportion, but it is important. No, I agree.
And that's why we should go.
I mean, we listen to about three or four chants. I'm not sure which one you're talking about.
If we don't understand white class first, white trash thing. I like right now, I'm messing it up because I don't fully comprehend it.
Yeah, that's
right.
That's why he wants to talk about it at such right. length. I think we can handle it in a brief break, but if you want to go into like a longer...
I apologize to all of our listeners, and there may only be five that actually care about, you know, saving, you know, the country.
Well, then they're going to learn the chant. Yeah. Well, you're not going to save the country without the chant.
No way true. To save it without this. First class, you probably don't recycle. White trash, first class, you probably don't recycle. And you know what? In my particular case, he's exactly right.
Man, I do everything I can exactly to avoid right. it. And is this, did you want to jump in and just give some?
No, I think okay. I'm going to, no, I think I'm going to.
You're going to what? Well,
I think I'm going to wait until this passes because I know you guys so well mm-hmm. that if I get into this in the middle of a really important part,
we may not
you
take it seriously.
May not take it seriously.
Huh.
Well, I mean,
I can't imagine that happening. But
I think we're all looking at this chant seriously. And what does it signify?
Well, white trash, first class.
So
you probably
don't recycle.
So I have a theory here. Let me walk you through this theory. And right. I have a chalkboard on this. You can get it at glennbeck.com.
You don't have a chalkboard.
No, it's going to be put in. It's not no. posted yet.
Right, okay.
But it will be posted
I'm
soon.
I'm going to make sure all the chalkboards are locked in right. the property cages by the end of the show so you can't get close to a chalkboard. Okay.
Well, I'll just steal one of yours. So white trash,
yeah.
first class, you probably don't recycle. So on its surface, what you're thinking is, okay, he's calling this guy white trash. He does not respect him, okay? Mm-hmm. But then that doesn't make any sense with the next statement, which
first
is
class.
First class. So he's saying, okay, but you're also a top-notch individual. Now, maybe he's saying, I think people might argue, right, that he's saying he's a first-class piece of white trash. And I can understand that take. It's an interesting take. There have been philosophical arguments for that for a long
Aristotle,
time.
I could explain
Aristotle
it.
Originally talked about
I believe
about that,
I
right?
can that explain first... the actual meaning in one sentence.
Well, I mean, I guess our audience deserves to have this dumbed down. Is that's your argument? Yes. Your argument, I guess our audience is stupid
no,
and can't
I'm,
understand
I'm
the philosophy
arguing
behind
that
it. Is that your
this
point?
Is not complex. That's what I'm arguing.
Okay, go ahead, Mr. Genius, Mr. Right. Philosopher. Aristotle's what? Joined us. He's going to explain to us the most important thing that's ever happened in
right.
the history
okay,
of America.
Here it is. White trash, first class.
Yeah.
From white trash to first class, the entire spectrum of people, you probably don't recycle.
What? That is a terrible piece of analysis.
I thought you said Aristotle
exactly
us.
What
you just embarrassed yourself.
That was
really?
Oh, man.
Really?
You just embarrassed yourself. Right.
Oh, my gosh. Right. I think Magellan made that point at one That is like one of the earliest,
right.
Most basic. I didn't even address that point in my analysis. Pretty, it's so bad. So what you're saying, I want to make sure I understand.
Right.
You're saying that they believe that everyone that makes for a trashy white guy in a trailer park,
yes.
up until you know the highest levels of
Donald
elitism,
Trump.
You probably don't recycle. How? Obviously, some people do. What is that saying? Oh, well, I believe 48% of you recycle. What does that mean? So, yes, maybe this is a. This is. Yeah, you're so. I'm embarrassed for you. So let me tell you what it actually means.
Okay.
In my belief. You're saying, okay, white trash.
Mm-hmm.
First class. You probably don't recycle. And you're thinking white trash is an insult, right? What if it's not? What if what he's actually saying is that the trash itself is white? He's talking about literal garbage. It's not an insult. He's talking about literal garbage, white trash. Then first class. Where is he? First class. What would indicate first class? Could be a compliment. Also could be mail. Maybe he's at the post office accusing them of not recycling their white trash.
Wow, that's a powerful step.
Thank you.
So
Pat.
Let me say,
thank
let
you, Pat. Pat and I have a book coming out on this topic, and you can pre-order it on Amazon right now.
A lot of people would say, you're a moron. But
those are the people who have not studied Aristotle.
But
though,
what if you weren't? What if you weren't a moron?
Exactly.
Hard to imagine.
Oh, because the post office is not a large contributor to our landfills, right?
Again,
that's what we're supposed to believe.
Again, unreal. I could have just laid out a really important thing to...
Oh, no, but instead you took our time with everyone who, from poor to rich, might not recycle, which makes no sense. We all know that makes no sense.
We saved you from yourself there, Glenn.
I mean, okay.
we really should be thanking us.
I'm not sure that these slogans... Like, if I may, hey, hey, ho, ho, doesn't get any deeper at all.
Well, has there ever been a global crisis solved by something that began in hey, hey, ho, ho?
I don't know. Often.
Really? I know ho-hos have, they're delicious, and they have solved many crises.
No, again, I don't think they're talking about ho-hos. Or slang for prostitutes.
Now, those have actually helped a lot.
I'll
tell you that right now.
Thank you,
I Jeffy. Believe they were just looking for, you know, some sort of a rhyme to go, which comes later in the chant.
And we haven't even started to analyze this.
New York hates you.
New York hates you. What hasn't even started.
Was that actually for Donald Trump?
Yes, it was in front of Trump Tower, and they were just informing
him. Oh my gosh,
can
I tell you something? Can you imagine how mad you are if you put your store in Trump Tower, or you are a neighbor of Trump Tower just wanting to do business?
Oh.
I mean, you know, somebody should do a... Somebody. Attention, some industrious writer at the Blaze. At the Blaze. You should look into the economic impact of the stores directly attached and on the same block of Trump Tower.
Because it could go either way. I mean, I think Trump Tower is now a much even bigger tourist attraction, right? I mean, people...
Yeah, it's the president of the United States owns the building.
But if you're
able to get to them.
Yeah, if you're seeing, you know, the security and the lines and everything else, you're not window shopping on that side.
Yeah. Was it Trump Tower that has the giant, like... series of garbage trucks basically lined up in front of it as, I think, a security measure.
And now a Secret Service trailer. I mean, they've taken... Yeah. Okay, so do you know how
Because they had to move out of the Trump Tower in some dispute with Trump.
Right, which is weird.
Some weird
really
lease.
Weird.
You know how Trump Tower was built, right? You know how he got that?
No.
You mean with the Polish immigrants? Or the illegal immigrants?
No, but I think I know that story where he had it built with, you know...
There was a lot of illegal immigration. Labor. He denies knowing about it, but he had to pay a large fine for it.
This is actually one thing to where when he says, you're going to be tired of winning, this is one reason why in business, the way he does business, he can say that and actually mean it. Trump Tower in New York... In New York, you don't own just the property. People own airspace. And have you ever noticed why some buildings have carve-outs at the bottom and they kind of go in, you know, they're sitting on this little pedestal.
Right, they're narrow towards the bottom.
Right. Mm-hmm. Or have you noticed that all skyscrapers in New York, when they get to a certain height, they start to get smaller, like the...
Chrysler Building, 30 Rock, Empire State Building, they all get smaller at the top.
I thought it was just because it looked cool.
No, it's not.
It's not aesthetics.
It's not aesthetics. It's because of light. City planners early on, when they started to build these skyscrapers, they thought, this is going to be a cavern that will never see the sun. And so they said, if we taper the buildings...
At least we'll let some light in.
We'll let some light in. Or if we set them back, like in Rockefeller Center, you'll know that the Fox Building and everything is set way back on the sidewalk. It's to allow light down into the neighborhoods or the deal.
That's interesting.
Some of it works.
Right.
Right, it did the job.
So it's very complex to build a building in New York, and not just because of all the stupid red tape, but because somebody's actually thought a lot of this stuff through, and it's kind of smart. So when you buy property, you not only have to buy the land, but then you buy upward. You buy airspace because somebody owns the airspace. And in this particular case with Trump Tower, Tiffany's owns the airspace above their building and above that block. So they bought their building, then they bought up, and they bought over an airspace.
That is bizarre.
So they own the airspace above the building, so nobody could build a giant skyscraper on their block. So Donald Trump comes in, and he buys this space, and he wants to build a hotel. And Tiffany's is like, well, you're not going to build a hotel here, because we own the airspace. and he knew it. And so he asked his architect to draw up two plans. One is the Trump Tower that you see. And the other, he said, I want, and it would be confusing if you were the architect for Donald Trump, if he said, I want a good one, and I want the most gaudy building you could possibly build.
Wait a second. More gaudy than
the one you're claiming is the good one?
Houston, this is Cape Canaveral. We've got a little bit of an issue.
So would the golden faucets be outside of the building? And so he said, I want the worst, ugliest building you can possibly design. That's, four floors, whatever the airspace is that he owned. So he goes to Tiffany, and they have a meeting, and they come in all, jacked up.
We own the air.
We're on the air. And he said, I want to build the most luxurious hotel and residence space. This is going to be known. It'll bring visitors from all over the world, blah, 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 blah. And they said, no, sorry. We don't want any big buildings on this block. We like the sunshine. And he said, I thought you were going to say that. So we could either work together and I can buy the airspace and I'm going to build this building. And he rolls out the plans for Trump Tower. And they, of course, are like, well, sorry, we're not building that one. He said, or I only have four stories, and so I'm going to build this one. And Tiffany's looked at that and went, no, you won't. And he's like, yes, I will. And he walked out with, yes, I will. By the time he got back to his office, Tiffany's on the phone. They're like, okay, we'll sell the airspace. And that's how Trump Tower was built.
Yeah. Mm.
That's the kind of hardball he plays.
That's a good story, really.
That's a great.
Of, right?
Yeah, I think that's a great story. Our sponsor this half hour is Mercury Real Estate. I want to tell you about Joe and Kathleen. In 2008, Joe was active duty military. He was transferred to a new base. They had a home. Remember, this is 2008. Imagine selling your home because you've been transferred. You have to sell your home in Michigan. In 2008, nobody can even get a loan. You're not selling your house. They were blessed in that time period to have some good renters, but they wanted to try to sell their house again in 2015. Well, they tried and tried and tried. Nothing came about. They decided, let's call realestateagentsitrust.com. They got a call from the agent literally within 2 minutes. Now they're living in Missouri, trying to sell a home 500 miles away, but their agent took care of everything. After 5 days of putting their house on the market, Joe and Kathleen secured an offer that was $2,100 over their asking price. You want to sell your home fast, on time, for the most money? Here's the way to do it. And deal with people that you trust, because they're people that we trust. My team has vetted each and every one of these agents. It's Mercury Real Estate. It's realestateagentsitrust.com. That's realestateagentsitrust.com.
This is the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.
The Glenn Beck Program.
So Stu actually goes, we go into the commercial, and Stu actually says to me, seriously, what you said about white trash, first class, you probably don't recycle, doesn't make any sense at all.
No, it's very, very stupid. I mean, I think
he's serious about it.
Yes, it was an incredibly dumb point. I mean,
why do you think the word probably is in there?
Because he's not sure. he's not 100% sure of each individual employee of the post office where he's standing.
You're trying to make this funny. You're serious. On the break, you were serious.
The chant makes no sense.
It does.
And your attempt to explain it is actually worse than the chant.
White trash, first class, probably you don't recycle. Probably is in there because he needs someone on his side. And so he's like, I'm trashing everybody from trailer park people to really rich people.
Okay.
I should throw in that probably there's some people that could come over and chant with me.
So again, your summary is I need someone on my side. So he includes everyone from white trash to the elite. That doesn't make any sense.
No,
you're saying he's criticizing every single group and he needs people on his side. This is unbelievable.
You want to know why? You want to know why people in this industry make a lot of money? Not because it's hard. Because you have to deal with morons like this day after day after day.
This is the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.